thankful to God for the opportunity to be in this place this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is good, not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And He's blessed us again to see this day. There was a promise to us. Some laid down last night, but they didn't wake up on this morning. But God blessed us to get up, and we're thankful for that very reason. Certainly He's better to us than we've been to ourselves, and better to us than we've definitely been to Him. And we should be eternally grateful for Him and His love, His kindness, His mercy, long-suffering, amen, allowing us to make mistakes and do things that we know are wrong. Yet He gave us another chance this morning to get it right. We ought to be amen and amen and an amen and amen and amen. So I'm thankful to be back with you. Great meeting last week, and many of you supported us. We thank you so very much. Went down with Brother Teamer, labored for many years, and done a great meeting there. Many restorations, many restored to the Lord. More of a revival, two baptisms, people come home. Dealt with the one thing that we talked about, that lesson I talked about, one thing I do. Dealt with people's past lives, past experiences. And many people are living in their past. It's such an obvious error to me now, what people are doing. And so that lesson, those series is going to be life-changing series, not only for me and others, but we saw evidence this week that's many people are living that type of life. If you're still living in your past, you are a sad person. You're a sad person. You will always be sad. You'll always be miserable. You'll never be happy. Happy. Because you have a memory of past pains, and those pains is just controlling you in your life. And so many people are sadly living that way. I pray I never live that way again. Man, again, I made my confession that I have never lived in the present with that mindset, and took that down there, and certainly many people are in need of that type of a lesson. And then this morning, I wanted to come add something to that. Once you learn to live in the present, then this we will see there was this young man had one thing that he lacked. Amen. That was going to keep him out of heaven. Amen. One thing he lacked. And if you're here and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That's what you need to believe. You need to repent of your sins, or you're going to die in them. That's all there is to it. Amen. You're going to die in your sins if you're not baptized. You're going to die in your sin if you're not in the one church. You're not drinking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You're going to die in your sins. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. Amen. So you can't die in sin and go to heaven. That's a big lie there in the world that's told. But let's look at this study here. I think it'll be good for all of us to make sure we don't have these attachments that we're going to keep us out of heaven. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, and the Bible says that when he was gone forth in the way,
there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?
So he come to him, he wanted to know, what I got to do to go to heaven? That's what he was asking. Luke's account, Luke 18, this young man was a young man. And I studied this morning, I think about young adults, how hard it is to keep the young adults faithful. I'm talking about the yams. We baptize more young adults than we do senior citizens. Seniors are, once they get baptized, they end, 60 and up. You don't see them leaving the church much. But young adults, this is your lesson here. Because many of you are going to die in your sin if you don't change the way you think. Young adults are 20 and up. Mama, you know, you're out of authority. You're not at home, and mama don't tell you what to do no more. The youth are those under authority and mama. So there's development there going on with authority involved. But when you become a young adult, you get to do what you want to do. So this young adult went to Jesus. And he was a young adult, and he was a leader. Luke 18, 18 says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master,
what shall I do to inherit
what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So he understands Jesus is the master. He's concerned about his soul. And that's what we should be concerned about, our souls. Wouldn't it be great for young adults to be concerned about their souls? This younger man was concerned about his soul. And I would ask our young adults, are you concerned about your soul? In Mark's account, he said, Jesus said to him, why callest me good?
There is none good but one, that is God.
He called him good, master. Jesus said, now why are you calling me good? God is good. And that helps me to understand nobody got no business looking down on anybody else. Ain't none of them so good. Even Jesus wouldn't allow him to be just put in a good category. That we can look down on others. Jesus was tempted as we are, yet not sin. Yet he had to learn to obey God. Hebrews 5:8. Though he was a son, he had to learn obedience. So Jesus didn't allow him to just say good. If Jesus wasn't too good to learn obedience, then we better believe that none of us are so good that we're going to be all right to get to heaven just by being good. Amen. And that's what he's kind of thinking, that he's good. He got it together. He's on his way to heaven. So he asked him a question, what I got to do to make sure I go to heaven? Jesus said in verse number 19, Jesus said,
thou knowest the commandments.
You know the commandments.
Do not commit adultery.
Now don't commit adultery. Don't
do not kill.
Don't steal.
Do not steal. Do not bear
don't
false
bear
witness.
Defraud not.
Honor thy father and mother.
Now these are basic commands that most of us know. Right? Anybody gotta tell you these are wrong? Do you already know it? Amen. You do, right? We already know this stuff is wrong. It's not that you don't know. It's not that you don't know what's right. It's not that you gotta know the whole Bible to do right. Because some things are just basic good moral living. So Jesus said, you know the commands. And sure, we must know the commands in order to go to heaven. Many of us know the commands, but we still break the commands. It's not that we don't know the commands. We don't have to be told the command over and over and over. We know the command. But yet we will break the command. But watch what he says. He answered and said
unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth.
Now this tells me young people can be taught right. Our teens can observe the commands from youth. These are youngs. Our youth, this is saying young people can learn what the commands are. Our young people should learn. Our parents should be teaching the young people from a youth, as Timothy was. He was taught by grandmother and mother. So this young man said, I was taught this as a young person. And then he said, I observed them. In other words, he said, I kept the commands. I knew what they were, and I did them. So I know that our young people can keep the commands, and they can learn what to do before they leave home. But they're going to leave home one day and start living the life of a young adult. And in Mark 19, in Matthew 19, the account, just trying to get to the main point I want to make here. In Matthew 19, start at verse 16.
And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
Same story told by Mark, Matthew this time. So he's just trying to get to heaven. And he said unto him,
why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Mm-hmm. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments.
Now he said you got to keep the commandments.
He said unto him, which? Jesus said.
Now he asked him, right, he said to them, he said, which command are you talking about? Amen. Then he says,
thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
So Mark didn't record the questions he asked, but Matthew did. The question the man asked is which one? So which command am I not keeping?
So it wasn't that he wasn't keeping a command. See, the command, we keep commands like being baptized, drinking the Lord's Supper every Sunday, that's a command. Coming to worship, that's a command. Amen. We keep commands. It's not that we don't know commands. So he was kept and keeping command. The young man said to him, watch what he says. He answered and says, confidently,
all these things have I kept from my youth up.
Exactly. I'm ready. I'm ready to go to heaven.
What lack I yet?
I've done that. And some of us can say that, you know, we come to worship every Sunday. We've been baptized. We're given right. We're taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday. And some of you can't say that. And not that you don't know, though. You know you should be at worship. You know you're supposed to give, right? You know you should be faithful to the Lord. It's not that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Then there are those who do know, and they're doing these things. Someone said, all these things I'm doing. Another command is to ask for forgiveness when you sin. Did you know that's a command? A command is that when you do wrong, you get it right. So that's a command, too. Some people can't forgive. And they're going to die in their sin because they can't forgive. That's something. Is that the one thing he talked about here? This young man said, I'm doing all that. Then verse 21, Jesus behold him, looked at him.
Jesus said unto him.
So Jesus looks at him, straight ahead looks like to me.
If thou wilt be perfect.
And the Bible said, behold him, love him. Jesus loved this character of this young man, this young adult. He loved what he saw in this young adult. Character. One who keeps command, living good. And one who was confident that he was keeping God's commands. Then he said,
one thing thou lackest.
But then he comes up with this. This is the sermon title right here. This is what you should leave with this morning. Now, this is not just the young adults no more. All of us could have this one thing missing. When you leave this morning, you should be able to say, if you're lacking this one thing or not. One thing you lack. You haven't done this. That's what he's telling you. So I did all of it. Now, there's one thing you have not done. So here's where I'm at. The one thing Paul done was lived in his present. That's what we learned. That he didn't live with past pains, experiences. That stuff didn't come into his everyday life. There was something he kept in his everyday life that kept him. He had the ability to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he was talking about every day he could rejoice in the Lord. In that day is all he could deal with. In a day's time, all we can deal with is whatever God allows to come in our lives. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But this case, you can live a good life every day and lack something. So Jesus said, here's what I need you to do.
Go your way. Sell whatsoever thou hast.
Now he was rich, remember? Sell everything. Give it to the poor.
And thou shalt have treasure in heaven.
And give, and you will have treasure where?
In heaven.
Then he said, second to that, come and take up your cross.
And follow me.
And follow me. So Jesus looks at him, he loves him. He knows he's living a good, clean life. But there's something he know about him. That his treasure is not in heaven. See, and I know that about some of us. Because I've been in the church 34 years. You can tell by people, you can tell when Christians are Christians, but treasure is not in heaven. Their treasure is not in heaven. The value that they put on heaven is less than the value they put on other things. So Jesus said, your character's good. You know the command. You're living good life. But you still ain't got your treasure in heaven. Which said, you can be a good person living a good life and still not go to heaven. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But you can look in the mirror and you can ask yourself this question. Whatever this man lacked, ask yourself, do I like this? What was that one thing he lacked? Well, let's just break it down. So Jesus said, here's what you do. Go thy way. Go back to where you came from. He can't run into him. Now go back to your life. When you come to Jesus, then go back and examine your own life. So if you've come to Jesus, now examine your life. Go back and look at you. Look how you live. See where you place value at. See where you are putting priorities. See where your priorities are. Go back. Look at your life, because you're going to be the one going to stand before God. You're going to be one. It's your soul. You don't never have to get baptized. You don't never keep no command. You can go to heaven if you believe your way by being good. Do it that way. But you got to look at God at the end of the day. Amen. We can walk around here not speaking to people, not doing anything, and call ourselves going to heaven. But you know, until you look at yourself, and that's some of us, we're so busy watching other people that we can't see our own problem. Amen. We can't see ourselves. And so the first thing, go back and look at you. Put your focus on you. And I'm saying to you this morning, you better look in the mirror and look at your own life. Then he said, number two, sell out whatever you have. Now, he knew this man was rich. He said, go look at yourself. Give up all your possessions. Give up everything. Jesus challenges this young man. Give up everything. Sell my house, sell my car, sell my boat, sell my RV. I'm talking bringing it up modern day, you know. Sell everything. How many of y'all can do this? Sell everything. Then give everything you possess, once you sell it, give it to who? Give it to people, somebody else who need it. Some of us call ourselves poor and we're filthy rich. Got cars, got homes, got money. Folk out there ain't got nothing. And then he says, now when you do that, give it, I'm coming back to that. Give it to people who need it. And you, then he says, shall have treasure where?
In heaven.
When you can get rid of all that stuff, then you're going to have treasure in heaven. That's when you can go to heaven. When your treasure is where?
In heaven.
Now, he said, now, after you do that, come back to me. Now, he said, go your way. Take care of all that stuff there first before you come to God. Amen. Make a decision. Is God a priority or not? So he said, you go your way and you make this decision. Get rid of all this stuff. And then when you come back, here's what you do. Come to me. Take your cross, whatever pains come with living, and you deal with life with me. That's how you go to heaven. You go back. Get rid of that stuff that you're attached to. I'm going to show you why I say attached in a minute. Then you start following me, and you take whatever comes with it. In other words, when you're living in the present, if something bad happens today, you can deal with it with God. And when you take your cross up, what comes across is some pain. You got to deal with life with God. When you're dealing with life with God, pain comes as well. Amen. Well, pain will come whether you have God or not. Because that's called life. But this young man wasn't ready. He wanted to go to heaven, but he wasn't ready to go to heaven. Because his treasure was not in heaven. Look at verse number 22.
And he was sad at that.
Why he sad? He had all the stuff. He had everything he wanted in his life. Many of us, if we had what this man had, we'd call ourselves happy. Why was he sad? Because Jesus said, you got going to heaven, but I'm living a good life. That's not the problem. The problem is not how good you're living. The problem is, look what he said. And at that saying, he went away what?
Grieved.
Grieved. This is where I get a chance to And I'm going to start, I'm going to insert this in Mudge Japan because some of y'all ain't going to ever come to the Greek classes because I know you're running from your pain. You're not trying to deal with it. You're not going to come. You don't want to own here no more. I know you don't, but I'm going to fire at you from the pulpit. Because you got to deal with pain.
Amen.
One of the greatest things I made was going to grief counseling. To learn how to deal with my loss. So let me give you this. There are people who will cry with you when you're going through things. They're just mourning. Because they have no attachment. They're not going to... They're going to cry with you because they feel, and so I'm sorry for your loss. That's all they're going to say. That's it. And they're going to cry when they see you cry because they're going to well up with you. But when they walk away, they ain't going to grieve because they ain't no attachments. See, but when you're attached, when you lose your husband through divorce, that's an attachment. When a child loses her mama that was there for her every time she got ready to call her when nobody else was listening, that child gonna grieve. When a man loses his wife and she was there with him 24/7, that's an attachment. There are some who will mourn with you, they'll bereave, but they're not attached. So they're gonna walk away and they're gonna go back to their lives and they're gonna laugh and keep going. They gonna keep crying with you. They're gonna say, "What's wrong with you?" Because they don't understand the grieving. So this cat, he is grieving. Notice the word. He went away what? Grieved. For
he had great possessions.
So he was attached. His problem, the reason he couldn't get to heaven, because he was attached to the things he possessed. He was sad that he had to give up the things he was attached to. And it sent him into a state of grief. He's sorry that he got it. I got to give this stuff up to go to heaven. Then he left. He went away upset. Jesus told him, "You asked me what I had to do." So Jesus answered this question. What was wrong? Why was he sad? Why was he grieved? Because all the things he attached himself to wasn't God. Many of you brought your God with you today. You brought your little G to face your big G. Whatever you attach to that gets more priority than God is your God. Let's go back and look at some of those things. The one thing that he couldn't do is give up earthly wealth, earthly possessions. Second shifts. Why people work second shifts? To have more. Why people work overtime? Why many start businesses that'll take them away from the worship? Why would somebody take a job that they know gonna cause them to miss worship? Some people have attachments to husbands and wives and mamas and daddies. And that's get a higher priority than God. Some of you attach to your professional life, your job, and your career. You are on time every day at that job and late every Sunday in worship. That's your God. That's what you lacking. You have not decided that God is a higher priority than your profession.
Amen.
Your pleasure. You put more emphasis on things that bring pleasure to your life than making a sacrifice to serve God. Friendships. Relationships. Shacking. Living with men. Not married. Going to worldly relationships. choosing boyfriends and girlfriends are not attached to God? That's called Belial. That means you're going unequally yoked. You're choosing a child of the devil over a child of God? You don't marry somebody who hasn't been baptized, not in the church. They become your God. Don't marry people like that. They have not chose God. Why would you choose them? They don't love their soul. They're not going to love yours. Your God is that man you're living with, sleeping with. Relationship, killing folk. Some of you are so attached to ex-boyfriend, ex-girlfriend, you fall apart. God didn't leave you. If God was your attachment, you could find peace when the devil leave your house. Some of us, I'll be glad those relationships are over. It was nothing but toxic. It was deadly. You're in a spiritual warfare with another individual who is not trying to live like God wants him to live, and he's pulling you down in a dump with him or her. Why? Because you're so attached to them. You're attached to them, and you detach from God. And guess what you do when they leave you? You fall apart. You got attached to God. Just wave when I come down your street. You get quiet when folks are thinking about their attachments. Because some of you know you're 9:15 every week. You walk in here, your last group to come in. What are you attached to? How is it that you can get up on time, use your alarm clock, Monday through Friday, but you can't do the same thing on Sunday morning? Somebody ought to ask that question. You can answer. The traffic worse on Sunday? You know we don't believe that. We live in Houston. You can tell, you can get another lie, working you another lie in, because ain't none of us going to believe that. Now, if you're coming down 2-9, there might be some construction issues. 2-8-8. My point is, you ain't late at your job. You figure out how to beat the traffic. You use your ways. You use your alarm. You leave early. Amen. Yeah, you know what to do. Because you don't want to miss that almighty green dollar, do you? Huh? Yeah. 2 minutes late, you got to stop getting a check. Yeah, we got it. So the check is more important than salvation. You got folk who won't give up a religious practice because they like instrumental music. Yeah, I don't want to be a member of church choir because I like my music. That's your God. Your God is that piano. And the Holy Spirit that shows up with the piano. And that ought to tell you something right there. If the Holy Spirit need a piano to show up, something wrong with it. It's amazing how a rep can get in. He can make one of the... And here you go with your wig flying. So I say, well, you're attached to, folk attached to this. You know, I'm attached to where mama went to church. I'm attached to all these things. But look here, and there's some good people in good deeds, all these churches, aren't they? You know what the problem is? What they lacking? Priority being God first. Let's go on. Verse 23, he looked around about, said unto the disciples. Notice what Jesus said, how hardly shall they have riches
into the kingdom of God?
And disciples were astonished at his words.
But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches?
Key word right there is trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God.
It is trust. Easier.
And this is why prosperity preachers seduce people. They're seductive. You know, they're pulling them in through the monies and all the prosperity preaching, and all these blessings you're getting. You're going to get richer and richer and richer. You're going to get God. You know, and they're going to start leaving with statements like, I'm too blessed to be stressed and all that kind of. And so they're attaching them to, what they're doing is they're attaching God to prosperity. And people are following. They're flocking to it. They're flocking to it because that's, to them, indicates blessings from God. But Jesus said, give all that stuff up. It's not, somebody said, well, brother, is something wrong? No, Abraham was rich. Abraham was rich. What was the difference to Abraham? Abraham, and this young man, Abraham put God first. He didn't stagger the promises of God. Solomon was rich, but he came up with a great conclusion after he tried living a life of a fool. He said, let us see the conclusion of the whole matter. We're to fear God and what? Keep his commandments. Why? The whole duty of our life is you better be to fear God enough to keep his commandments. Then he says something here. It is easier to go through the eye of a needle.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle
than for a rich man
to enter into the kingdom of God.
Yeah, some scholars say this is a gate or whatever. But the point is this. Whether you can think of an eye of a needle, it works too, because it's impossible for a camel to go through a needle eye. Now, we get that point. You don't have to be smart to get that. What he's saying, a person can't get to heaven like this. If you attach to your riches, you say, well, I ain't rich. Yes, you are. You got a car, you got a house, you got food on your table. You ain't poor. Most people come here ain't poor. Somebody look at our parking lot, they say, ain't no poor people going there. That's what they say. Yeah, y'all driving BMW and Cadillacs and Rovers and Range Rovers and Chevrolets and what else y'all got? Mercedes. What you driving? Static. Cadillac. Digging in the scene with the gangster lean. Ooh. Yeah. Well, ain't nobody in here poor. Y'all ain't poor. All of you rich. But how honest are you, though? That's my question. I'm trying to say, am I attached to this stuff? We got to ask ourselves some questions in order to make sure we don't have these attachments going on. It is so easy to get attached to other stuff. Amen. It is so easy to get attached. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Think about it. How many of you are attached to something you can think of right now? You ain't going to be honest, are you? Huh? You're grieving, aren't you? You ain't going to answer no person I ask you right now because you're guilty. You're the son who came in at 9:15 every Sunday. Don't look down. And they were stunned. They were astonished out of what?
Measure. Saying among themselves.
They were saying, man, then, if you making it this hard, who's going to be able to go to heaven? These disciples said, this is too hard to go to heaven. Watch what Jesus said. With men.
And Jesus looking upon them said,
if you follow the men,
it is impossible.
It's impossible.
But not with God. For with God, all things are possible.
The only possibility to be saved, y'all, is that we detach from this stuff. He made it real simple. It's not hard. What he's saying is you got to detach from these physical things. You don't never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. And a matter of fact, most of our family members are going to go crazy when we die trying to get the possessions. You see, have you ever been to a funeral and somebody, the family's just mad at each other? Why are they so mad? You're going to be crying. They're worried about who's going to get the car. Who's going to get the house? Who's going to get the money? How much was left in his account? Yeah. Sorry. Did he have a will? Did they have life insurance? Who gonna get a piece of it? Now y'all know I'm telling the truth, don't you? There are families who are tore up. A death occurs and the possessions become the God that's driving everybody, the whole family fall apart. And this happens in families today. People are so attached to stuff, they'll stop speaking in family because I have nothing to do with them, so they're so attached to stuff. If you don't help me with my stuff, help me keep my stuff together, then I won't speak to you no more. You don't love me because you don't help me pay my rent. No, you need to go to work, pay your own rent. Amen. If you don't stop loving your family because they... Folk are so attached. Let me stop. This is y'all get the point, don't you? Peter began to say, "Lo, we have left all." No, Peter going to say, "Well, I done gave up everything." What Jesus said? He said, "No, you really."
Verily I say unto you,
there's no man.
There's no man that had left
house. Notice what he thought. Listen, these attachments: house,
brothers,
sisters,
father,
mama,
or wife,
your wife,
or children,
or
lands, for my sake, and the gospels.
But he shall receive hundredfold. In this time, that's present.
Houses
and brothers,
sisters, mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life.
No, he said, present time, you're going to get all this same stuff. And then he said, but here, y'all attached to him, though. And then he said, Jesus answered, two things. Watch what in verse 29 he said. For my sake and what? At the end of that verse. He said, for my sake. Here's how you go to heaven. You give everything up. Quit putting everything before God for Jesus' sake. Because he died on the cross. You don't attach yourself to anything other than Jesus first. And the gospel, because that's what saves. What saved us was the cross. And when you can't come here because of the cross, turn your recorder on. You're not going to heaven. Because you lack that one thing. Your attachment is not to Jesus and the cross. Your attachment is to whatever your little God is. And he came in with you this morning. Jesus said, seek ye first. Here's the exchange. He said, what shall a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So what an attachment. Boyfriend, girlfriend, lover, shacking, marriage, job, money, cars, house, careers, education, degrees. Mom. Some people go to college 30 years to get a PhD and don't know ABC of the scriptures. PhD. And don't know the Genesis and Revelation. Have no clue about what the Bible teaches. Didn't want to try to educate us on it. And don't get him something to drink. Then his show gets smart. You give a guy some alcohol and he think he already got his brains expanded because he's been to school. Then he want to tell us about how God can do things and what about God. So who here today got to put God first? If you're ready to save your soul, do you want to be at peace with God? You're going through difficult times. Maybe you're at the verge of giving up. Or you got sickness in your body. Turmoil in your life. You're hurting inside. Some of us see it on the outside. Sometimes people who have not been healed, they hurting on the inside. You look okay to us. But you're a wreck on the inside. Troubles in your home. Trouble in your marriages. Trouble in your relationships. Trouble with members of the church. Trouble with boyfriend, girlfriend, breaking hearts. Your heart been broken. You're here because you have nowhere else to turn. Or you're going through some serious trials and tribulations. You might have found out you got cancer. You might have found out that you don't know if you're going to make it through it. You don't know what the treatment is going to be. You don't know what the plan is. And you all shook up over it. Can I suggest something to you?
Yeah.
Well, this thing is that what this man was doing is had his trust somewhere other than God. And the lesson to all of us, and especially to the young adults, because this was a young adult asking this question. He said, your reason you're not going to heaven is because you're not attached to God. Yeah, you keep a command, but that's not your number one priority. God is not number one in your life. And when God becomes number one in your life, you get blessings in this life, and you'll get blessings in the life to come. And blessings are not measured by how much money you got in your bank account. Your blessing is measured by you know you're okay with God. You're at peace with God. You have a relationship with God. That's what this lesson is about. Amen. Priority. The only thing this man lacked was trusting in God over his stuff. How many of y'all trust God like that? How many of you all have put God first? First. You keep him first. And you'll make heaven your home. That's what you got to do. What did this man lack? What did he lack? That's a question. Put God. What was his problem? He trusted in riches. So what's the word I use that everybody should leave with? Attachments. So if you go, if you're really trying to go to heaven and you do a good examination, you'll find what you're attached to. It might be Exxon, it might be Citgo, it might be, what's the name of these companies you work for? That might be your gods. Monday morning, you'll be there. When you walk in Monday morning on time, say hello to your God. Yeah. Because you know you came this morning late. So I'm going to give you an example. If you can be honest, you can do that every week. You're probably doing it every week. Now, who is it in here attached to your husband or your wife? Attached to your lover? You're attached to them. God is not first. They are. So the only thing you should leave with today, what this man lacked was his attachment was not to God, to other stuff. Now, if I can identify that, and I'm going to work at it myself, saying, am I attached to anything? Am I putting anything before God or anybody? Now, here's the smart thing to do. Keep it real. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to who? You know who you attached to if it's a person. And you know what you attached to if it's a thing. It's not that you can't know this. You know and God know. Kind of like we're talking about in ministerial class. Brother getting down praying. If you believe that God here is not a sinner, what are you doing? You know you're living in sin. I tell brother, we don't let them get away. We don't let them make it in ministerial class on Thursday night. So that's why some of you brothers ain't going to come in there because you know we ain't going to let you make it. All them old lies you're telling. Well, you know, Lord, know my heart. Quit lying. You get up. We know you sin and you know you sin and God know you sin. So what you laying down there praying for? Get up. That's what I told him. Get up. Stop praying. You lying. At least you don't believe it. One of the two. You don't believe, you believe God here is sinning? Well, keep praying then. Because your problem is unbelief now. Amen. How many of y'all believe God here is a sinner? I don't. Because the Bible says he doesn't. So you can believe it, but you got a form of unbelief, which means you don't believe none of the Bible. You're in trouble. If there's anything in there you don't believe, say, well, I know I believe the Bible. I don't believe in the one church. You don't believe. You're an unbeliever. You are an unbeliever. Get up, stop praying. And repent. That's what you do. Repent. Until you stop it, it's a sin. And ever since it's coming up here reporting to us, brother, since I've sinned, repent my sin. Quit lying, because you're going to go back and sleep with her again tonight. Talking about you repenting. You repent, you leave the house. Boy, they want me to stop. Let's stop. Let's stop. Boy, this is good stuff right here, ain't it? Huh? It ain't good? Oh, it ain't good. So what are we lacking? Everybody know what they lack? Huh? How many of y'all got it pinpointed? Okay, on the way out, I want you to shake my hand and say, I got mine. I got mine. Everybody who got it, detached from today. Okay? So if you're here today, you're not a Christian, you're in trouble. I mean, you really have a problem. I mean, you don't even have a chance to pray. You can't go to heaven. The Bible says God here is not a sinner. The Bible says a man died in the sin, John 8:21. Where I am, you can't come. He said, Jesus said that. He said that in his own words. But he did say, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. The cross is where we got to focus our focus. This keeps our priority, right? When we see Jesus on the cross, know that he was beaten. He was spit upon. He was mocked. And he was slapped. He was, they nails were in his hands and his feet. And he would hang on the cross for 6 hours to save us. He had to shed the blood that would purchase the church. That same blood will wash the sins away. But you got to see a suffering Savior. If you don't see a Savior on the cross suffering, you'll never come to him. That's what we're supposed to preach, how he suffered for you. And when you see him suffering, you'll believe it with all of your heart. If you believe the Bible, you ain't going to believe it because you saw him in Jerusalem. You wasn't there. It's in the book called the Bible that he suffered for us. You believe that with all of your heart. You repent, make a decision. I need to change my life today. Give my life to the Lord. Make a confession before people. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I will deny you, Matthew 10:32-33. Then after that, you got to be baptized. Why? It's commandment. Amen. It's a commandment. Jesus said, he that believe in the baptized shall be saved. That's why. You're just an unbeliever. That's your problem. When you believe, you do it. Amen, somebody. No, why I got to be baptized? Because Jesus said it. He that believeth in his what? Baptized shall be saved. That's what the Lord said. If you are shaking your fist at God, don't even know if you're going to wake up in the morning. That means to me, that's foolish. At least I'm going to give him credit. Amen. I'm going to give God credit. Lord, I need some mercy, some grace, and give me some more time. Amen. I'm going to give him credit for waking me up. I ain't going to act like he ain't going to wake me up. Give him credit. And you give him credit that he's done his part. Now it's your time to do your part through believing, through repenting, confessing and be the Son of God, then be baptized this morning for the remission of sin. Then the Lord would ask you, the only church in the Bible, it is the Church of Christ. That's the only one in there. You don't have to read it but one time. There's but one church in the Bible. It's called the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. And Acts 2:47 says, to save them in the church. Which church they in? Well, which God they serve? Jehovah? Which Son? Jesus? Which Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit. Which baptism? Water. Which church? Church of Christ. Ephesians 4:4-6. Ain't one. You want to be saved? Guess what you're going to do? Make God your number one priority and obey him. That's what you're going to do. Now, if you're here today and you're going through a whole lot of problems and you want us to pray with you, we'd love to pray with you. If you want to make a confession or come and ask the church to pray for you, the church can pray for you too. We'll pray for you and pray with you. Here's the one thing I do know, and I believe it. How many of y'all believe that? Prayer can change things. Amen. Prayer can make a difference in a person's life. Some of us still alive because somebody else prayed for us, not because we can pray. Somebody else prayed for us. You're going to get through some things in life. God will get you through. It's going to be because your mama prayed for you, your daddy prayed for you, your preacher prayed for you, somebody prayed for me. Y'all come as together and stand.